This morning I bring you greetings in the name of our soon returning King, Jesus Christ. Glad that you're here. First part of this year, there's a word that's been returning to my mind over and over, and I hear it occasionally, even in other people giving a testimony. And as I reflected on that word, it spoke to my heart. I call the message today Living Intentionally. I'm not sure if that's the best title, or Living Godly Lives Intentionally. Intentional living, living with intention, careful living, living with purpose, or living our faith. I'm not sure which is proper. But I think the important thing is that we do it intentionally. And that's been impressed upon me. And as I thought of that, how is my life? Is my life intentional that people see what's the driving force in my life? Or am I one of those people that it talks about in the Bible, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They do and say all the right things. But I don't know you. Who are you? That's a sad commentary. And as I thought of living intentionally, I thought of Luke 10:27, where the lawyer was challenging Jesus. And Jesus answered him and he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy might. Mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Did you catch that? Four alls, three letters, three-letter word, A-L-L. Does that mean haphazardly? Does that mean if you want to? Or is that a requirement? This is what it takes to live intentionally. You need to have that experience with God, with Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And then he adds this yet, and thy neighbor as thyself. So how do you like your neighbor? You like your neighbor? If you don't like your neighbor, you don't like yourself. It's just as simple as that. Can't get around that. I'd like to begin with a story. This is from the Master's International Ministries, July 2007. So see, it's important sometimes you save some stuff. It's called Living Our Faith, and I think this drives the point home very well. Village life, this took place during the time of the Soviet Union, and I believe in the Ukraine. Village life was very hard for us as believers, and I may have used this before, I'm not sure, but I don't care, it gives a point. Workers on the collective farm were forced to work 7 days a week, from early morning until dark. Many Christians chose to move to towns and cities where they did not have to work on Sundays. But my father did not choose the easy way. He saw the dangers for his family in city living and chose to stay in the midst of a mocking, unbelieving people, living out his faith. My father spoke to the neighbors, constantly teaching them, among other things, how sinful it is to work on the Lord's day. Our house was built of mud, as were all village houses at that time, with a straw roof. Needing a new roof and metal roofing just becoming available, my father began work on this project to improve our house. He took off the old roof and started to put wood on the rafters for the metal. Yuri remembers his father telling the family what would happen if it rained during this time. They all knew their mud house would not be able to withstand a rainstorm. As the days wore on, work did not progress as expected. Saturday came with darkening skies that promised rain. All day, Papa and Mama worked. Dusk turned to darkness, and the new roof was not on. And not only darkness came to our house on that long ago night, Yuri says, but also ungodly neighbors to see what would happen. He remembers going to bed wondering what Papa would do. At midnight, a weary Papa climbed down from the roof. In spite of impending rain, he came to Mama, not to retire for the night, but to talk to God. Through the night, they knelt in prayer. 1 kilometer away, it began to rain. The village people came back with the gray dawn that dreary Sunday morn, expecting to mock Papa for having to work on Sunday. Instead, they saw him leading his family to worship with a few other believers. Now it was raining all around them with no rain for 1 square kilometer, their house being at the center of this protection. Monday morning, work resumed with believing brothers having learned of the need there to help Papa. By evening, with 1 piece of metal left to put on, it started to rain. They quickly slid it in place and tacked it. What a mighty way God chose to show the people of Yuri's village that he exists and lovingly cares for his own through faith of one man. How do we live out our faith? Do you call that intentional? I call that intentional. Did he speak to his son's life? He sure did. You think his son learned something from that? I think he did. This father could have decided, what does it matter one time? If I don't put that roof on, my house will be in ruins. But he wasn't ready to compromise. He stood for what he believed. He was intentional. Intentional, according to the dictionary, done by intention or design, done by purpose. Some synonyms are deliberate, witting, willful, calculated, considered. If you look deliberate up, it means to think about or discuss issues and decisions carefully. Slow, unhurried, and steady as though allowing time for decision on each individual action involved at a deliberate pace. To me, that sounds not very ruffled. That sounds like a person has a clear head to make a decision that is not hurried, but a decision that is according to what's best. If you look up the word determine, having reached a decision, firmly resolved, showing determination, firm in one's decision. In study, I found this saying, creating an intentional life requires that we stop responding by emotion and start walking in the truth. So you can't just go by emotional. You need to go by truth and what you know the Word of God is teaching you. I hear comments like, we want to be more intentional. I need to change my eating habits. They're not very good. I need to change those. But nothing changes. It all goes on like it has before, until such a time as you have a wake-up call. Or, I need to do more exercising. I just need to get with it this year. Have you ever heard that or made those comments? Or I need to do my daily Bible reading. I need to get more serious with God. And I think we all know what we're talking about. But nothing changes unless we get tired of what we're doing and we become intentional. Or work. My work is out of balance. Or I need to work on relationships. I need to work on forgiving this person. I want to forgive this person, but oh, did this or that to me. I can't. Oh. I need to watch my media time. I will need to watch my browsing on the internet. I get carried away with it. With time, what are we really saying? Are we saying we are not intentional enough? I like what John Maxwell wrote something here in his book, Intentional Living, and I quote, "If I want to make a difference, wishing for things to change wouldn't make them change. Hoping for improvements wouldn't bring them. Dreaming wouldn't provide all the answers I needed. Vision wouldn't be enough to bring transformation to me or others. Only by managing my thinking and shifting my thoughts from desire to deeds would I be able to bring about positive change. I needed to go from wanting to doing." Does that make sense? I thought of James 1:22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Isn't that the way it is sometimes? We go to the mirror. We look in the mirror, is all the crud off my face? Are my hair combed? And we walk out the door and we forget what we saw. So as we read the word, as we know what we need to do it. We need to become intentional. As I thought, I wasn't sure what scripture to use. But I thought of the Apostle Paul. Who was Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul was known as Saul in his early life. Paul means little. The greatest apostle to the Gentiles, whose original name was Saul, a grander title than that of Paul. Did you know that? And Paul was satisfied with who he was. Paul, a man who founded many churches. He was energetic, commanding, masterful man, who is one of the great characters not only in the Bible but also in all history. He was a native of Tarsus. His father was a Roman. He was a Pharisee Jew, a Pharisee by birth, son of Pharisees and a Pharisee by belief, the hope and resurrection of the dead. He was a freeborn citizen of Rome. He had a strict religious training. He was a tent maker by trade. He had received a good education, finishing up under the great philosopher Gamaliel. Paul quotes from the Greek poets, So he must have been familiar with Greek philosophy and literature. Paul not only studied in Jerusalem, but he also studied in the College of Experience. Knowledge comes not only from books, but from the responsibility and experience of life. In Acts 9, we have the account. Paul was very intentional. Saul, at that time, was very intentional. It says he went to the high priests and wanted letters to go to Damascus and arrest those of the way, because Paul did not agree with that. Paul was very intentional in what he thought was the truth. But God got Paul's attention that day, and that intention was changed. God got a hold of that man, and he said, he struck him down by a bright light, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Here Paul thought he was on the right track, but he was not on the right track. And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" How did he know he was the Lord? How did he know that? And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I thought I was doing your will. What do you want me to do?" I think that's what it means when we become intentional. God, am I on track or am I not? What do you want me to do? And then we also have the account here in the same chapter where God speaks to Ananias and he says, "Go and lay your hands on Saul, on Paul." And Ananias says, "Yeah, but God, I heard, haven't you, you know, I know what all Paul's been doing to people." And God says to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went. That's what I call intentional. Living intentionally, not just knowing the right things to do, but actually getting down to business and doing them. Then we also have the account in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, and they had fallen away. They were listening to false teachers. And then Paul boasts a little bit on some of the things that he went through. Verse 21 in the Amplified: "To my discredit, I must say, we have shown ourselves too weak for you to show much tolerance of us and for us to do strong, courageous things like that to you. But in whatever any person is bold and dares to boast, mind you, I am speaking this foolish, witless way. I also am bold and dare to boast. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are descendants of Abraham, so am I. Are they ministering servants of Christ, the Messiah? I am talking like one beside himself, but I am more and far more extensive and abundant labors with far more imprisonments, beaten with countless stripes and frequently at the point of death. 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, all but one. 5 times, 39 stripes, 195 times. Can you imagine that? This man who was persecuting the way. 3 times have I been beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned. 3 times I have been aboard a ship, wrecked at sea. A whole night and a day I have spent adrift on the deep. Many times on journeys, exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the desert places, perils in the sea, perils from those posing as believers, but destitute of Christian knowledge and piety. In toil and hardship, watching often through sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, frequently driven to fasting by want, in cold and exposure and lack of clothing. And besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel this his weakness. Who is made to stumble and fall and have his faith hurt? And I am not on fire with sorrow or indignation. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my infirmity, of the things which I made weak. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my infirmity, of the things by which I am made weak and incontemptible in the eyes of my opponents. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ knows, he who is blessed and to be praised forevermore, that I do not lie, Damascus, the city governor, acting under King Aretas, guarded the city of Damascus on purpose to arrest me, and I was actually let down in a rope, basket, or hamper through a window, a small door in the wall, and I escaped through his fingers. Was Paul actually saying these things to lift himself up? I don't believe. I think Paul was saying, if you want to be intentional, this might be your reward. Paul understood what it meant to be sold out for God. Paul also in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As Paul was experiencing these things different times, was he looking out for his own hide, or was he still comforting others? Paul understood what it meant to be intentional. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul was looking to the eternal. He wasn't looking at the temporal comforts in this life. Paul was focused on what he knew was coming in the hereafter. Paul was intentional. Paul did what he knew was right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. After Paul experienced these things, Paul says, but in talking to Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul understood that. Also, I forgot a reference in Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I think our story points that out well. Also, 2 Timothy, verses 12 and 13. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Paul was convinced that what he was doing now and what he believed in was the genuine thing to believe in. Paul also said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. It's all there. All that you need is right there to become a mature person in Christ. Linford referred to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. As I looked into the life of Paul, how intentional he was the early part of his life, and how that intention was turned around once God got control of his life, and how intent he was. That was his life's mission, was to be intent and to serve God with all his heart. I think that's what God wants from us. In conclusion, be intentional with your life. Love God above all else. Know him personally. Love your neighbor as yourself. Study the word. Live out your faith. Put to practice what you know and hear. Pray without ceasing. Living the Christian life is much more than merely signing a card or saying a simple prayer. It is fleshing it out. Plan for eternity. We need to plan for eternity because we will not always be here. Paul was planning for eternity by doing what God called him to do. One person said his personal philosophy was this: wherever you go, there you are. In a sense, that's true. But I think it's more than that. Wherever you go, there you are. That's true. But you need to also remember that someday you will stand before your Creator and explain to Him if your life hasn't been inspiring or reflecting the life of Christ. Where you go, there you are. But you need to take your life with you. You need to live your life as Paul did his life. Let's bow to pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning. I pray that you would continue to impress this message on my heart. Help us to live intentional lives in moving from what we know we ought to do to actually doing it, to fleshing it out. Help us to be active in your service and doing the things that you call us to do. Thank you for the life and example of Paul. Thank you for his diligence. Thank you for the many writings, the writings of much of the New Testament. Thank you for the vision that he had for the church and his love for you. Help us to base our life on you and your principles. Guide us as we go forth today. Be with those that are not able to be here. Thank you for your presence and for speaking to our hearts. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.